It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
Rhonda told you we'd be back together. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along and good to have my friend, my co-host, Captain Mike Ward in studio. Good
to see you. And I'm glad to be here.
It's that time of year that there may be on occasion some of us that have to go on assignment.
Yeah.
After a turkey. So
yeah, we've had to do some of that.
So it's part of the job.
Had to do it during the week because we got, holidays this weekend, Easter here, and got a family coming in and got church to do, and, it's just hard to do things this weekend.
What time does church start for y'all?
11 o'clock.
See, that's good.
Yeah.
That 9 o'clock service stuff is not built for turkey hunters.
Yeah, well, they got two services, so you can go to the early service or the late service.
Yeah. The late service is the service. Anything that starts like 8:30 or 9 o'clock, that's not built for a turkey hunter.
No, but, it's hard to do it on Sunday anyway,
Never stop me. Hey, a lot to talk about today. We will catch you up on turkey hunting stories. By the way, too, gotten comments from last week's show, and you can go back and check it out in the podcast. We'll get our buddy Logan Copeland back on to talk more about precision shooting. What he's done, it's a thing a lot of people are doing during the summertime.
Yeah.
When they're not hunting, just go out long range shooting and all that. So yeah. a lot of people interested in that.
That's a hobby to them more than hunting.
Yeah.
Just going and shooting the guns.
It's funny. I in the interview with him, I said, I was one of your troubled students just because I love what he does and what he's taught me for long range shooting out west. But I am definitely, while so many things, I'm a nerd about learning everything about it.
Yeah.
With long range shooting, I learned, because you have to know why things go, but it was kind of like, okay, what are the quick fixes here for me to be able to shoot 800 yards consistently,
There's a science to it.
And there's a science. So you go, there's a big science to it. I was like, yeah, I know there's a science, but I don't want to go to school this day. I want to know, just show me how to shoot long distance. So, you can go back and listen to that. Yeah, on this week's show, we got some turkey stories to catch up with as well for Mike and I both, and we'd love to hear from y'all. You got a turkey story or a picture? I know somebody sent a picture in of their nephew had killed a bird the other day. They're very excited about. You can always hit us up, facebook.com/FMTalk1065Outdoors. So I'm going to put the outdoors on the end of it. There's two Facebook pages. There's one for the regular part of the station and the outdoor side. So you check that out as well. Breaking news of the outdoors. So yeah. Conservation Advisory Board, right? CAB. Right. Meeting coming up, and what are they talking about? A couple things that stood out to me. One that they had talked about, I called it pink for orange. What is he talking about? Okay. So this push is, and it's happened in other states, but lady hunters out there have said, hey, we would like to wear, I guess it's hard to get something to match, Mike, blaze orange.
Well, ladies' clothes have pink little zippers and pink here and pink there, So they'd like to have a hat that'd match them.
So
I get it.
Now that's the law of the land, which is good.
It did pass.
I think they're gonna sign off on it. Yeah, I don't think there's any objection to it.
Okay.
So it will be that. I guess the easiest way to say it is anything that would require blaze orange can be blaze pink is okay for it.
So you can wear a pink vest.
Yep.
Pink hat.
Yep.
So pink pants, whatever you want.
So get ready. So that's out there. To me, that's like, the sure thing. I mean, who cares? It does the same thing. It identifies a human being for safety. Cool.
Yeah.
So that's a deal out there. And I think pretty soon Mike and I get matching pink FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors hats to wear in the woods. I mean, it works with more of my look. It's more of my look out there.
Well, yeah.
You're not going to. Okay. Here's a quote here. So it's from Commissioner Blankenship. It said, we always use Hunter Orange or Blaze Orange as the only approved color for hunting. I got a letter from a young lady asking why Alabama didn't allow fluorescent pink for hunting as more women are getting into the outdoors. That would be something we should look at in Alabama to help participation from female and youth hunters. I didn't know that was a thing. Hey, Commissioner, I'm with you, too. I mean, we're like, okay.
Yeah. But yeah,
you know, it was a thing. He said, I looked it up, and now there are 14 states that allow fluorescent pink in addition to Hunter Orange. He said, as we grow the number of people in our state that enjoy the outdoors, we propose to add fluorescent pink to Hunter Orange as approved high-visibility colors that can be used in the field. Okay?
Yeah, I think that's great.
Okay, so that's it. Now you know, if you see blaze pink hats in the store, that's a legal, you know, legal thing. There's other proposals that are up in front of that one. I don't think is going to have any contention. So that one's like, there's one here. A couple of things they talked about. They said other proposals, including the recommendation. So these are recommendations right now. We'll see what CAB does to remove the restrictions on the use of turkey decoys and allow the use for the entire season. You know, right as it is now, the first 10 days.
Yes.
No decoys.
Yeah.
They're talking about going back to using decoys starting. And the other thing you and I have both talked about, it didn't make it into the – I don't think it made it into the story that posted at OutdoorAlabama.com. But I have heard this from a couple people that might be in the know, and that was there's a move to move turkey season back 5 days. So it moved forward 10 days.
Yes.
When the changes
opened up – well, a long time ago, Sean, it opened on the 20th.
Yeah.
Then they moved it to the 15th.
That's right. It was the 20th. Then the 15th.
And then they moved it back to the 25th.
Right.
Up to the 25th. And I mean, everybody's upset about that.
They are. And I don't know that
I understand the science behind it.
Other than me, supposedly. I think everybody, you're right. Everybody is upset about it.
Yes.
And just the art, you know, we'll talk about some of the places I was this last week in turkey hunting, around a bunch of turkey hunters. And I get it. Like, you said it before, like, it pushes it into it's so hot and people are hunting. But also my argument is, but what does it do to the critter, right? I mean, is it better? This all started with information came out and showed that we had hens that were not bred. Remember, we were having these lower counts of poults, and then I was like, well, are predators getting them all? They said predators get a lot of them, but sometimes that hen never laid an egg.
Yeah.
And they said they did the net capture, and there are a lot of these that never were bred. And that blew my mind.
I don't know the reason for that. I mean, there could be multiple reasons.
The theory was, though, remember, we talked to Dr. Chamberlain about this and Chuck Sykes about this, and that how long it takes when you shoot the boss, you shoot the strutter, they don't immediately, it's not like spike, you know, you shoot an 8-point, that spike gets on a doe, he breeds her, it doesn't matter, right? But in the turkey world, what they showed is if that, there's a day to 3-day period, something like that, maybe a little bit longer, that it takes to reset who the boss is. You know, we hear turkeys fighting and all that stuff. And, you know, it's just the dominant gobbler that does, like, some big percentage. I don't have it in front of me, but 90%, 80% of the breeding. So in the time period it takes to reset who's the boss, some hens go unbred.
Yeah.
And that was one of their theories. And that's why they were – because biologically, once all the hens have been bred, gobblers are not needed in the system. Right now, we save them because I want to have you know long beards to hunt in the next season. But
well, sure, we all do.
But scientifically,
yeah.
But they're saying that the theory back then they weren't all getting bred. That's why they moved the season later and took out decoys because they want to make sure more strutters made it through to breed more hens. And then once that period's over, then you can shoot them.
So. But you know, the flip side of that right now, Sean, is I'm seeing a lot of hens by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That means they're nesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've talked to several people that have found nests with eggs in it.
I heard this a month ago.
Yeah.
Like it's early a month ago.
So I think, personally, that most of the hens have already been bred. Now, there might be a few of them out there that hadn't, but I see what I see.
Right.
Is I think that a majority of them have been bred.
So my laboratory is the farm where I live.
Yeah.
And both things are true where I am. There are definitely single hens getting away, but I still see some groups of hens.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I still see six hens with one strutter on into the morning.
Yeah.
And then I see single hens. So both things are going on. Yeah, both things, I think, at least for me, are going on. But, okay. So
and I'm sure it's that way, too. Probably most places, you know, that there's still a few hens maybe that hadn't been Brett, or maybe they still grouped together, they just hadn't split up.
Right.
I don't know. It could be both ways there, too.
So, you know, but the idea behind all this is that's what started this discussion, is moving the dates here.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, I'd forgotten that. It used to be the 20th, went back to the 15th, then got moved to the 25th.
Yeah.
Now what I'm hearing is probably as soon as the 2027 turkey season, it could move to back to the 20th.
Well, I hope they do.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and I can tell you.
As long as the bird numbers are doing fine, I think that's great.
Every hunter that I've talked to about them putting it on the 25th, everybody's upset about it. So I'm sure they're getting an earful in Montgomery about this.
That's correct. They are.
Yeah. So I'm sure that's
that is
the
correct.
Reason they're thinking about putting it back.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. They have gotten an earful about it. But I do want to make sure, and I know I'm this different voice in the mix, because I hunt. You know, if you're thinking you're the hardest turkey hunter, I hunt as hard as you do for turkeys. Not meaning you, but somebody listening to us right now. So I'm all about killing turkeys. So it's not anything about, I just want to make sure we got turkeys going forward.
Oh, we all
that's,
do.
That's always my caution, is to make sure we just keep, because it's really scared me, the population trends we had for a long time. And site specific, there's properties where turkeys are doing great, but there's a lot of places that are not. So that's always just been my worry about that. Is moving the date, because what they say, days kill turkeys, meaning the more – it's just there's a certain number of days, and especially earlier in the season when everybody wants to go, if you add 5 days, that equals X number of gobblers killed, something like that. So, that's a thing that's moving with the Conservation Advisory Board. Also, when we come back, I do want to talk about this Avid Turkey Hunter Survey they got going on. I signed up this year. I think it's pretty fun, pretty cool, and you can help out with data out there. And then – we'll talk about killing some turkeys.
Let's do it.
All right. Coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Glad to have y'all along. Yeah, and I was going to mention this before we get into turkey stories. And by the way, you're always welcome to send us y'all's turkey stories as well through our Facebook page. I knew this was a thing. And when we had Steve Barnett, who wrote his latest book here about managing habitat management for wild turkey in Alabama, which is available online. And there's a few copies, I think, at District 5 Fisheries. You can pick it up. Yeah. Cool book. And it kind of breaks down our state, the different areas, like what you should be doing to manage for turkeys habitat-wise. But he had mentioned the Avid Hunter Survey. And I'd seen this over the years. I just never did anything about it.
Yeah.
So this year I signed up for it. And it's pretty cool. And you can still get in on it. If you go to – you can go to the Outdoor Alabama Facebook page. You can go to outdooralabama.com. You just look for Avid, A-V-I-D, Avid Hunter Survey. And what they're doing is they're finding people that I think you got to hunt 10-plus days. So over 10 days of turkey season a year. Child's play.
Yeah, child's play. Well, you live with them.
Yeah, that's a child's play. But if you if you do that, it's an online thing. When you get signed up, you go through, they'll send you a link, and you go and you click through, and it gives you just like a registry. So you're talking about, okay, on day one – it'll say, how many individual gobblers did you hear? Okay, heard 3. How many times did they gobble? 40. You know, whatever. You put those in.
Oh, 3 of them? How much did all 3
of them combined, gobble? Yeah, so combined gobbles heard. Yeah, and it doesn't break it down like one gobbled 35 times,
right,
the others,
one,
3, and 2. You say what county you're in, and then what, like, even though our whole county kind of is one, what they call ecotone, like environment, but they, different parts of the state, and we'll talk about that later, have like, part of it's Black Belt, part of it's hills, or you know, so they have. You click this thing, and it kind of says this kind of environment, and then you put in. You don't have to kill one to put the register. You say this: how many gobbles, how many turkeys, how many hens did you see, and you plug that information in. Boom! It's kind of cool too for me taking part in it this year, because I can go look and be like, what was it like on that? What was Friday's hunt like? Go back. Oh yeah, I heard. But what they do is they take that information, trying to just get an idea around the state, how much gobbling we hear and how many different gobblers are there, those kind of things. Just stuff when we wonder, are they gobbling less than they used to? Are they gobbling more? When, what time of year Do they gobble more at the beginning of the season, end of the season? You got the doldrum in the middle. You know what?
I mean, that's pretty neat, really.
Yeah. So I mean,
but can you see what other people are?
No, but I guess not with what I've done so far. But they do put the information out at the end of the season because you can go back on it and look at past years and see goblin amounts. So it's pretty cool. But if you want to sign up for it, it's Caleb Blake, which is Caleb.Blake, Blake, at dcnr.alabama.gov. But it's easier. Just go to the Facebook page for Outdoor Alabama. Scroll back to March 23rd, and you'll see it. And you'll say, well, the season's already started. You can sign up and retroactively go put that in
and catch up.
Yeah, and then catch up with it.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's good to get an idea for kind of a snapshot of the state at the same time. It's been kind of fun for me, even though we're not that far into turkey season, but I can go, how many did we hear that morning? Instead of going, oh, man, we heard. I can go back and see exactly.
You know, when you hunt a lot, you get confused day to day.
Right.
You know, you just do.
Yeah.
So, that'd be pretty good to be able to go back and say, okay, yeah, I couldn't remember whether that was last Wednesday or last Thursday. Do they ask you about the weather conditions or anything?
No, because I guess they'll have that, you know, if they're putting the data in, right? And yeah. I don't know. We'll try to get Caleb on the show. I talk about it, but I'm sure they have, you know, they already have a recording of what the weather was like and barometric pressure and stuff in different parts of the state. I'm just guessing, but this is how, you know, data works. And you just overlay that with the report from Sean Sullivan in Mobile County and, you know, you got that in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it says, do you hunt 10 plus days a season? We want you for the Avid Turkey Hunter Survey, Alabama Wildlife Freshwater Fisheries, officially seeking participants for this year's Avid Turkey Hunter Survey. Not only does your data help keep Alabama turkey populations healthy, but it also contributes to the official state turkey report. So there it is.
Pretty neat.
So I just wanted, those are things I wanted to throw out. And, it's kind of fun. Like I said, it's been fun for me to do, and I can't wait to hear the data, and we'll talk to Caleb about it hopefully further on in the year.
Yeah.
Now we got to get caught up on turkey stories here because, you know, the number of gobbles and all that stuff's important. Opening day, did you go?
I did not get to go opening day.
You were on assignment.
I was, semi.
Not turkey assignment.
No, had a little surgery, so got that taken care of. And anyway, I was able to go Thursday. That was my opening day.
This is what I like about Mike. He has surgery, but we're just counting down the days. You think a lot of people would do that and be like, I'm out for the rest of the season. Not Mike. Not Mike.
Well, everybody was mad at me because I went Thursday. So, but anyway, it all worked out. I think I'm okay. I think I am.
So
anyway,
you went.
Yeah, I went and had a good hunt. I probably heard 5 or 6 or so turkeys gobble, and I was on 2 turkeys. You know, within 150 yards, 200 yards from me, gobbling. And when they flew down, I didn't say anything for a while till they flew down and gobbled a little bit. Then clucked a little bit. And they kind of came right on down in front of me and went on off to the right. And I didn't see or hear from them for a pretty good while. Of course, I was there at daylight. And I heard them gobble once or twice every now and then, you know. And then about 11 o'clock, I guess, I'm still sitting in the same spot. And one gobbles about 300 yards from me. And I said, well, they're coming back.
What time is this?
This is like 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay. And anyway, they're coming back my direction. And, it's probably 11:15 now. They're coming, and I heard them gobble another time or two, and they are getting closer. And then all of a sudden I heard a get no better than that.
Although, let me point this out. When Mike tells the story, that bird could be at 300 yards because this man can hear – he can hear one drumming at crazy distance.
I'm blessed, and I'll tell you another story after this one. But anyway –
because when I hear one drumming, I know it's about knock the safety off time because that's my ears.
Yeah, I'm blessed on my hearing. Now, if you ask Sarah how well my hearing is, it's terrible. She wants me to go to the doctor.
I'm going to send you a story, too, a link. We'll text you. There's a thing that says the pitch and range of women's voices is the first hearing that men lose.
I believe it.
God has a sense of humor, y'all. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
So anyway, after a few minutes, I see him coming, and he's off to my left now a little bit, and he's coming to me, and then he starts kind of quartering a little bit away from me. I rushed.
What kind of woods are you in? We're right 100.
Beautiful. You can 40 something year old pine plantation, been thin one time. You can see.
We're 100 with you before. Yeah, so you can see some distance.
I try to get in a little thicker place so I'm not out in a wide open.
Sure, but you can see
something. So where I could see, I can see, 70, 80 yards.
Okay, good.
So anyway, he's coming, and he gets a little closer, and he starts kind of quartering away from me, and I'm thinking, oh, no, he's getting ready to leave. And I should not have shot. I think at the time I shot, he lowered his head, and I was shooting through some trees and stuff, but I thought it was a killable shot.
Right.
But I should have waited, and I didn't, but I rushed a shot, and I didn't bother him at all because he ran closer to me. And wide open, and I got a red dot scope on my gun. I threw it up. I said, well, you dead. Pulled the trigger. Nothing happened.
What?
The ejected the shell out, did not eject the shell in, and I looked, and the shell was in the chamber, but it wasn't all the way in. So I closed it, and then I threw back up. By the time I did, the turkey was gone.
He was on to you at that point.
And then he started putting and clucking, and the other gobbler, he started gobbling, and both of them started gobbling. I mean, for 30 minutes, they were just gow, 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 just crazy. I thought, well, maybe I can get them back up here,
But
never did. So that was my first hunt, okay? So I didn't do anything Friday or Saturday. But, it was a weird days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was Thursday. I heard five, six, seven turkeys gobble, whatever. Now, on Friday,
See, this is why you got to be the avid hunter server.
Yeah, I need to be looking at online. Anyway, on Friday, I probably heard 10 or 12 turkeys gobble.
Improvement? That's good.
But not on me. I never heard a turkey gobble on my property. Everything was off of my property that I hunt.
Well, most good turkey hunting stories start with, I got real close to the line and sat down on a tree.
Yeah, well, one thing, I can't because there's a fence, game fence on one side.
Right.
And then I got a dirt road on the other side. Yeah. So, it kind of hinders me on that. So, anyway, I heard a bunch. But then the next day, Saturday, that wind was blowing probably 20 miles
an
hour or more. I did not hear a turkey gobble. Turkey gobble, and I stayed there till
because Mike stays there till well beyond the cows coming home.
Yeah, whatever, 11, 12 o'clock or so. Did not hear a turkey gobble.
There's something to say for that. This is not for old turkey hunter, but if you're new to the sport and you go somewhere, we've talked about this a lot on the show, and you go, I didn't hear a turkey gobble, there's no turkeys there. No,
there's turkeys there. There's no question.
That's what I'm saying.
It.
Your example is a good one for somebody who's new into turkey hunting. If you go to your club or whatever, you hear no turkeys gobble. But you've seen it. You know you have turkeys. They're not all gone.
No.
There's just some days they just
sometimes they don't gobble like crazy. Sometimes they don't. Okay, so Saturday afternoon, the wind actually calmed down a little bit Saturday afternoon. I went back to my camp and did a few things. Then I came back. I got in the woods about 3 o'clock. And I had to set what I thought was going to be the wrong direction. I came in from the north. And I wanted to kind of look, to the south.
Okay.
But the sun was beaming down on me, and it's 3 o'clock, it's hot. So I turned back, kind of looking back towards north a little bit so that I have shade.
Sun, yeah.
I was about to burn up. Anyway, that was the way I walked in, so I'm not expecting the turkey to come that way, So anyway, I cluck a few times, and I yip a few times, and I just shut up, just sitting there. And when we come back,
okay, so we got him sitting there. He's yelped and clucked, and we'll return to the story when we come back in just minutes. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Glad to have you along. And remember, too, in the hour preceding this show, well, the show runs quite a few, but on Saturday mornings here, hour preceding this show are classic editions of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. We started doing that when Don Dubuque retired. So you can go, make sure, like you say, I want to get up and go to Turkey Woods. Well, we're on with you
there
before goblin time, so you can listen to those classic episodes. All right. when last we left Mike Ward.
Yeah.
He had gotten around on the backside of the tree, get up under the shade.
Yeah.
He's looking the way
looking the way I walked in, which is not really what I wanted to do, but I was planning on turning back around once when the sun went down a little bit. But, you know, I said, well, okay, I'll sit here. So it's like 3 o'clock. I'm sitting down. And like I said, I yipped a couple times lightly and clucked a few times. And I've got to where I just don't call a lot anymore. So I put the calls away and said, you know, maybe in 45 minutes or an hour, maybe I might.
That's old school, brother. That's old school. I like it.
So I'm sitting there after about probably, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes or so. I hear something. I said, was that what I think it is? I said, nah, I'm hearing that. You know, you think you hear trucks and lawnmowers and tractors or whatever, you know. And
I'm sure
getting
it for a long time. You have questioned it.
Yeah.
Like, no, that ended up being a car out on the road.
That's right.
Drummond, yeah.
You know, so, you know, just a few minutes later, I hear, or a minute later, less than a minute later, I hear, you know, kind of light. And I said, man, that does sound like a turkey, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, after probably 5 minutes or so, keep thinking I might hear one drumming. I hear one go,
and you knew.
When I heard that, I said, that's a turkey. Now, when I first saw him, he was probably 80 yards away from me, maybe a little more, but at least 80 yards away from him when I first saw him. Now, I heard him drumming a good 5 minutes or longer before that. So how far was he? I don't know. 100 yards, 125 yards?
Yeah,
I don't know. Now, the wind had stopped blowing. It, you know, that morning, Saturday morning, it was blowing a gale.
Mm-hmm.
That afternoon, it had slacked way down. So, you know, I could hear a long ways. But anyway, bottom line is, here he comes. He'd strut, walk a few steps, strut.
And when you're watching one of that, it feels like it takes 18 forever.
It does. I mean, he'll twist and turn around in circles, and he'll walk 5 steps and, you know, strut again. And, oh, man, it was a beautiful sight. You know, he came up. I shot him. I had a good shot. I'm using a 20-gauge TSS. I shot him at 60 steps, okay? Stone dead. He didn't flop a wing, a foot. Nothing. With 20 gauge TSS shots, 61 steps is what I stepped it off. You know, this new ammunition is something else.
It
really is. It's unbelievable. But get back to the hunt. You know, a lot of people don't afternoon hunt.
Right.
I know probably a majority of my buddies that turkey hunt, a majority of them probably don't. They don't afternoon hunt. I have had some wonderful afternoon hunts. I mean, whether
that means he's lost the hens and he's had a couple hours to think about having lost those hens.
Yeah. You know, and not always, but if you can get one to gobble in the afternoon, then it's not always. Nothing's always with a turkey, period. I don't care what it is.
Got that right.
But if you can get one to gobble in the afternoon, you've got a really pretty good chance of getting him to come to you if you don't overdo it.
Yep.
And I have got to where I don't call near as much as I used to. Now, should I? I don't know. Sometimes, I mean,
it depends on the turkey.
It depends on the turkey. Now, you know, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday about, you know, when do you call every breath? When do you just call every 30 minutes or, you know? There's no rhyme or reason to it. Now, sometimes you get on turkey and he just and you just yipping and yipping. He's gow. A lot of times he'll come in, you kill him. Now, Ben Roger Lee, you remember Ben Roger Lee? Everybody at turkey hunts knows of Ben Roger Lee. Now, his philosophy in turkey hunting was never stop calling. I mean, he yipped all the time, never stop.
Which back then was a big deal, because back then turkey hunters said you yelp 3 times, you put the yelper down and didn't touch it for an hour.
Yeah.
He was so different than what we were being told, you know.
Yeah. And so both things work.
Depends on the turkey.
Depends on the turkey. Sometimes you yip too much and he says, oh, I don't sound right. And he's going somewhere else. But I don't know. I've got back to the kind of old school. I yip and cluck a little bit and then I shut up and see if I can hear something coming.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, it kills a lot of turkeys.
Different. But I'm telling people right now, don't give up on the afternoon hunt. sometimes it can be so boring, especially when it's hot. When you got 80-degree weather and you don't have any wind blowing to get you just a little bit cool, it can be a boring hunt. But there can be some fine hunts, too.
Yep, and you kill that turkey.
Yep.
That turkey you couldn't have killed that morning. That afternoon, you could kill him.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't hear a turkey that morning, period. So, now that's my story, and I haven't done anything since. I did go Wednesday morning this past week. Didn't do anything. Now, there was one hammering it across the street, my little dirt road across the street, and my neighbor killed it Thursday morning. So, that's my story so far.
Okay.
Time of yours.
Yeah, I have to go fast here. So, opening day. So, took a friend of mine, retired Army major, wanted to kill a turkey. And it's funny, I roosted those birds on, I guess it opened on Wednesday, on Tuesday afternoon, roosted them just by owling there.
Yeah.
And like I said, I do live with them. So, I got it. But they did not. I was like, why are y'all right there? You're talking about turkeys doing, like, y'all are always over there.
Over there. Now they're over here. Yeah.
And the over here was way closer to where I live than where I had everything figured out until the turkeys told me differently. So we ended up having to go in stealth. And I told this guy who's, you know, he was also a Green Beret. I said, hey, we're going to put Green Beret stuff to action this morning. We're going in dark, no lights, got to get in. I think they're in this acre woods in here. They were.
Yeah.
Happened to be exactly where we sat down. We got in dark enough and sat down. And sat down amongst them, not only the three gobblers there, but the nine hens.
Oh, boy.
So we're sitting there, and daylight comes, and I pull out a slate and a striker and lay it beside me, and then throw mouth yelper in. Doesn't mean I'm calling.
Yeah.
Thank goodness it didn't, because I think, you know, it's got light at whatever it was, 6:20, whatever it was, about 2 minutes after that. One bird gobbles about 40 yards away from us that causes the bird that's 15 yards away from us to gobble. I looked at him and I just did the old wide eye, like, do not move, do not do anything. And then hens start cutting and pitching out of the trees. And now we got three birds going nuts. I mean, it's such a hunt. I'd love it. I videoed some of it, but not that part of it. I couldn't have moved that part of it. And where we were set up was a horrible spot to be set up. I thought we would move at light. I thought we were close, but we'd have to move. So picture, I'm on the downhill side of a hill. And up where the flat of the hill is where the birds were going. So we're already at a disadvantage.
Sure.
You see them sailing out of the trees and they disappear because you got a hill in front of you. It's probably, you know, that part of the hill is 10 yards long or something like that. We're leaned up eating trees. So they pitch out, the hens and hens and cutting. And it's just, I mean, gobbling on top of double gobbling, you know.
Yeah.
Insane. I realized then we were stuck. And I was scanning at one point. I mean, we looked up my hunter. He could have killed the shot he took to kill the bird would have been closer to shoot him out of the tree. That's how close the bird was.
Yeah.
It would have been. And I'm looking up out of my right corner of my eye, like just move my eyes and not my head. And I can see that gobbler looking down, looking at the hens, looking where we are, looking down. I mean, he's just moving around. So they get down, they get on the ground. And I'm like, I hope all the hens are out. I don't know, but I mean, they're just blowing it up out there, the gobblers, which, by the way, all the hens weren't down.
But you can't see them.
I can't see them. They're right behind me. I'm leaning in trees, and there's an opening in field, and the turkeys are roosted, like, where we're the kind of, not the tree, but the trees we're leaning against are the same trees that they are maybe 10 yards back that they're roosted in.
Yeah.
So they're sailing. I mean, you're overhead, you know, pitching out. So they're going nuts, and I realized, well, we're not going to be able to get this done. I can't call this bird, number one, away from all those hens, number two, to get him to come over a crest of a hill and come downhill to me. So I told him, I said, put the crawl on him. And the crawl was like, not like a crawl like you're crawling turkeys, but get yourself up the hill enough that you can get on your knees and have a shot, because they're in range.
Right.
And
just hope one of them don't come peek over the hill.
Right, and they hadn't. At that point, I thought there was, and that's my decision, too, was like, there's enough stuff going on right now. They just hit the ground. They're strutting and got, like, let's get it done now before they start looking.
Yeah.
So he got up there and eased up and shot it. That bird, four-bearded bird.
Really?
Yeah, I think it sent you that picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, four-bearded bird.
Well, I thought it had three, but
it's four. No, I thought the same thing. I said, good job on a three-bearded bird. And we laid it on the back of the truck to look at it and said, nope, that's not a strand off the other one. That's another, so four-bearded bird. I've never killed three-bearded birds, never a four-bearded bird.
That's super.
20-pound bird, four beards.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the spurs. Let's say like a inch and eight spur, something
great,
like that.
Great turkey.
So that's opening day. We're going to run out of time here, but I'll speed through. Hunted the Washington County Turkey Rodeo. I hunted on Thursday, but I kind of hoped I didn't kill one to be ready because the tournament started on Friday. And, you know, you're talking about the weather. We had fog and humidity on Friday, wind on Saturday. Still got on birds, just couldn't close it. Birds all had hens that we were on. You know, saw a lot of birds, but couldn't close the deal until Saturday mid-morning. I can't remember, 9 o'clock, right in there, 9:30, 10. Got on a pair and had my nephew as my teammate hunting in this rodeo. And he had him a click. You had a click, but his was a click where it hit the primer and didn't fire.
Ooh.
Now, he's shooting a gun that people tell you it's a Beretta, but it's like Benelli. People have said that if that slide is not completely forward or, you know, if you have knocked it on it.
I've had it happen.
Well, that happened to us, too.
Yeah.
So that was Saturday. Sunday, well, he hunted until he had to go to church, and we're running out of time for the tournament. He went home, and I went and killed one. So we'll talk about that when we get back.
All right.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Yeah, it's like we're just running out of time again because I wanted to stop. You mentioned TSS. Try to find some TSS out there.
Yeah, when you do.
If you find it.
Yeah, you're gonna pay for it.
I heard a podcast the other day. They said maybe just looking at geopolitical stuff in China and tungsten and all that, that may be the end of TSS.
Really?
Getting the supplies. Because, you know, it's used so much in military. The military's got to get what they can, and then what's left over is for us shooting turkeys, which I think we need to have a priority meeting here with the Pentagon saying, y'all can get what you need, but we need some for shooting turkeys, Pentagon.
Let's talk about
what's important.
We need to call Donald Trump, get him
to
send us some.
We need to cut out 20% of what goes to Pentagon. We need it for shells. But I found some online the other day. And what happens here, this has happened every time for ammo shortages. I don't need any. But hearing that, like, might be the end of it. I just bought another two boxes, and I shoot a 20 gauge too, and a 410. I'm now I've killed enough turkeys this season. I'm now hunting with the 410. Usually I kill my first bird with the 20, then go to a 410. This year I've killed two with the 20. Now I'm going to the 410. I have, I think, six boxes of five of that. So
right.
Nevertheless,
and listen, with a 410 in tungsten, that's deadly, too. Probably 40, 50 yards.
Yeah, and I shoot with my 410, I'm 30 yards, 30, 35 yards. And there's some shots, if there's more cover and stuff, and the shots I would have taken with the 12-gauge, I don't. But it's okay because I'm trying to – once I've got a couple turkeys and, you know, I've got turkey salad I made the other night and fajitas and stuff like that, I'm good. I know I'm not going to not have turkeys to eat. I kind of try to – you know, but yeah, if the season got real hard, you may see me in May go back to the 20 gauge, but we'll see.
So I
sent him home. He had, or sent him to go to church. That was 8:45, 9 o'clock. I said, well, I'm going to go back out there. We had been on a bird that we didn't have time to finish. Yeah. Actually drove by him coming back to the house, saw which way he walked off, went and got set up on what I thought was this is just a woodsmanship versus turkey calling, just where I thought he's going to be. Then I sat and quiet called and didn't happen, but I heard couple birds fire up elsewhere, and they were those birds when you hear them gobbling. This was, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock. Like, they were losing their minds. I said, well, they've lost their hens.
Yeah.
And that was, I wish I could tell you a bigger turkey story on that one. I made a big loop around, I hunt corners a lot. I use, if I'm in thicker woods, even in our open woods, I use a corner.
Yeah.
You know, like we all talk about roads. There has to be a reason in my mind when I'm hunting a gobbler that he can't see that hen until he gets into range. So I've always tried to, if possible, find a corner.
Yeah.
Even though I have a story coming up that makes no sense on corners. And so I got around a corner, got on, you're talking about different calling. These birds are real hot. I cut hard at them, and they just, in 2 minutes, they gobbled 25, 30 times, and then let two of them get in to see which one's the bigger. They're 2-year-olds. You know, decent birds. 10-inch beard, inch spurs, whatever, kill one.
And, good birds.
Good bird. Oh, yeah, good bird. I was very, very happy. So that was Sunday. And, of course, it wouldn't have won that tournament. We were up against a bird that was 22 pounds with, like, 1.5 inch spurs. I knew we were out of the running, so but enjoyed my hunt.
So do you know who won the tournament?
I think I do, but I don't know it for a fact, so I better not say it.
Yeah, okay.
So, but I know a guy that we'll talk about when we wrap up today, that you know him. He was strong on the board. I know that.
Yeah.
All right, so then that was Sunday. Monday, I did not hunt. Yeah, so, and I know, I did not hunt.
That's bad.
Because I had a bunch of stuff to do at work here because I was leaving for that governor's one-shot turkey hunt. This is the third time getting back on this
hunt.
That's
in Montgomery, right?
You go to Montgomery, you go to Prattville, and then you go everywhere. Different landowners come, and they offer their land and guiding services, and they pair. I don't know how I keep getting invited because it's all like business heads are coming to the state. I mean, all like, you know, fancy people.
Right.
Some of them never turkey hunted before, and I always go, oh, I'm here again. I don't know how I got invited, but I'm back, and, you know, I'll take advantage of it.
So you know, Sean.
Yeah, I don't know. So I was paired with a group I'd hunted with before, which happens to be a good friend of mine who lives up in Lowndes County. So we went there, and first morning we heard two moved on them. They went out to, you know, when I say big cattle pasture, Lowndes County's got big cattle pastures. When they're out, you say, oh, they're in the middle of the pasture. They're a quarter mile when they're, yeah. You know, so couldn't move on them. Heard another bird, then made a loop. It was 8 something in the morning doing the, let's go try to find one, strike one. And got another bird, had a buddy go check. It was a corner. He checked. He eased up there and he glassed. And he did the old fast run back to us, which is always a good sign.
Yeah.
So we did a loop. Did a loop. It's pretty interesting, though. He said, there's two in there. No, he said, there's a strutter in there. He's by himself. What we've been waiting for, because other birds were henned up. I said, great. So we do a loop around. This area had a little bit of relief geography, too, so we can get around a corner and got in a spot. At the end of this field, the field's probably 300 to 400 yards long, and it's probably at the most 80 yards wide, but it's just long field. Yeah. You got a shoot house like on either end of it kind of set up. And we said, well, good, there's one. So we sat down, called this bird, nothing. And the field had a dip in the middle of it, but – because when we got set up, we said, we can't see the bird, can't see the bird. Well, he can't have gone far. You open it, nothing. And it went on for about 15 or 20 minutes. My buddy's on a mouth yelper, and just went on 15, 20 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes with nothing. And I started thinking in my head, this bird's wandered off. I don't know what's happened in the 4 minutes while we're getting around in front of him. But so he broke out the glass slate and cut hard on that. No gobble, but all of a sudden, I was looking the other way. He goes, here they come. I'm like, I look down at about 250 yards, and there's two turkeys running like they're in a marathon at us. But it's not two gobblers like I've seen before. Like it's a hen and a gobbler.
That's a little strange.
And the hen is leading.
Yeah.
The hen's leading the pack.
Yeah.
Of the two of them. She's running in to whip another hen, and he's dutifully following her.
Yeah.
Much to his bad luck. And so he ran up and shot him.
So you got him.
Okay. Shot him at about 35 yards. Interesting, though. We talked about TSS. And I've been a big TSS guy for, what, 5 years now? Or 5 years? Shot him with 20, about 35 yards. And I ended up having to stand on him. I flipped him over, but he didn't dish rag. And probably operator error. But I went back and looked at the turkey. I don't know. It was weird. And I shoot 20-gauge shooting nines, TSS nines. And I mean, killed him, wouldn't go, but he wasn't. You know, usually I come up and they're like, they've been dead for 2 weeks, kind of
dead. Yeah.
Wasn't. So I don't know. But yeah, that's so. And then that was on Tuesday. Wednesday, we can kill one, and I'll have some reports for you next week.
I hope I got one for you, too.
All right. We'll stack them up. We'd love to hear from y'all as well. And we'll check you out over on the Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 1065 Outdoors.